Do everything with a mind that lets go. Do not expect any praise or reward. If you let go a little, you will have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you will have a lot of peace. If you let go completely, you will know complete peace and freedom. Your struggles with the world will have come to an end. This little jewel of truth was delivered by Thai Buddhist monk Atkan Ka, who was an influential teacher of the Buddha Dharma and a founder of the two major monasteries in the Thai forest tradition. In the spirit of formation, which is this month's theme, I share an important life story. For those of you who know me well, you will also know that I consider myself to be pretty blessed because I grew up spending my summers on an island in the St. Lawrence River. Well, more than just my summers, really. Actually, I spent every weekend, spring, summer, and fall on a small rocky island speckled with white birch trees, just filled with these little green leaves that sparkled in the sun and rustled in the wind. And I'm not a first-generation river rat. My father had also spent his summers as a child on the river. So one could say that river ran through our veins and that we embraced the title of being river rats very seriously and very proudly. As a child, even as early as 4, I knew my way around docks and boats and water. If I could just flash some images from my past onto a screen, what you might see is just beautiful sunny days, fluffy white clouds, and blue, blue water, as far as the eye could see. There are these long ships, they're called salties or lakers, depending on origination, off in the distance, just quietly and slowly gliding across the horizon. And we could hear gentle lapping of waves against rocks and boat hulls. The boat's slow rock on the water is sure to relax the nerves and bring one to a peaceful, restful, sleepy kind of place. For me and my family, that little island in the middle of the St. Lawrence River was truly idyllic. A common sight on the island, besides the herons, was my forever shadowing my dad as he worked on the boat engine or shored up the rock retaining wall or checked the minnows in the bait bucket that floated lazily next to the swim ladder, which I considered my summer aquarium. I always like to open it up and look at the fish. Summer seemed long back then. Unlike now, when summer's only 12 weeks long, time seems different depending on how old one is. I never thought that was true when my mother told me, but she was right. Fall then and now invariably arrives, changing the rhythm of life, leaving me, and maybe even us, a bit reminiscent of warmer days and slower days and sunnier days. One crisp fall day on the river, my dad decided that he, which really meant we, because I did shadow him everywhere he went, would take our fishing poles and head out to the floating dock, the goal to get in some casting before dinner. Now, casting is the act of taking one's fishing pole and pulling it way, 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 way back, and then just at the right time, letting a rip forward. And whatever was on that line would go out into the deep, far off the dock. The key was not letting the pole go. That is an important part of the fishing equation. Hang on to the pole. I learned that the hard way after a couple of not hanging on opportunities when I was trying to cast, just like my dad. Whatever was at the end of that line, a lure, poor little minnow, a worm, would fly through the air and land kerplunk somewhere way out there to like wait its fate. For my dad, casting was an act of pure Zen meditation. He would just enter into this rhythm of cast, reel it in, cast, reel it in, cast, reel it. He was a Zen fishing master. That is kind of like a paradox if you think about it, because Zen Buddhists really don't fish, but it was just like that. And in my opinion, I don't think that my dad ever really wanted to catch a fish. He never brought a net or a bucket. Now that I think about it, we never even ate fish. It was something about that rhythm, the possibility that something exciting was about to happen, that seemed to keep my father coming back for more. He was all about the catch and release. When he was surprised to catch something, gentle with the flippy flopper he held in his hands, he would gently remove the hook and away they would go. But he was always surprised. For me, fishing at four, now that was a totally different story. I would get ready to cast. I had to hold the rod with both hands and I'd pull it way, way, way back and then try to pitch it out as far as I could see. And invariably, I would hook myself on the back of my jacket or on my life preserver, or once in a while, I would hook my cousin, which is another story altogether. After having hooked myself, I would madly struggle into a tangled mess, all line, hook, and frustration within seconds. My father would invariably rescue me, readjust, point me back in the right direction over and over again, never impatient, never frustrated, which was amazing to me. On this particularly cold fall day, my dad had unraveled and unhooked me several times already, and I began to become a bit frustrated and disinterested in fishing, as you might imagine. I abandoned my pole on the dock, went on my way to engage in another much more interesting activity, casting stones. I went to the shore, began gathering small stones, putting them in my pockets, sticking them in my pants. I even shoved a few in my life preserver for good measure. I waddled my way back down onto the dock, picking up the ones that I dropped along the way. So I'd step, drop, pick it up, step, drop, pick it up. So it was kind of a Zen experience of my own. I strategically located myself just out of my father's reach. I knew that was the best place. As he continued to cast off the end of the dock, and I began to throw those stones one at a time into the water on the side of the dock. Splash, splash, kerplunk. I loved watching the splashes and the resulting ripples. I just loved it. I relished the big splashes in particular. You see, with the change of seasons, the river changes. During the fall, on a cold gray day, close to dusk, the water is literally black. This casting of stones and seeing them immediately disappear into the darkness became a Zen activity of my very own, maybe even a lesson in impermanence. Thinking back now, I'm sure that this stone casting did not help my father's Zen casting or his chances of catching a fish, for that matter. He certainly did have the patience of a saint. Never did he turn around once to tell me to stop. I'd already made multiple trips up to the land and down to the dock, and on what would be my last trip, I found the perfect rock. It was huge. Well, huge for a four-year-old. I picked up the boulder, which was not an easy task, and carried it on my chest and my arms. It was so heavy that I was bent way, way, way back. And I slowly worked myself forward, carrying it. I'd have to rest for a second. Sometimes I'd change it and hang it between my legs and try to carry it that way. And then I'd go back to my chest and I'd carry it that way, and back and forth I went until I made it all the way down. And I swear, when I stepped on that floating dock, I felt it go down. That's how big that stone was. So there I was on that floating dock, grunting with purpose as I made my way to the edge, because I wanted this splash to have a big impact, to be gigantic. So I went to the deep end of the dock, still out of my father's reach. I readied myself. I mustered up everything that I had. I kind of like gave it a swing. I was ready for this, and I threw it with all my might. Everything I had, I put into that rock. One small detail, I forgot to let go. Imagine it for a second. Me and the rock leaping and tumbling into the cold water of the St. Lawrence River. And let me tell you, that splash did not disappoint. No one would think once I hit the water, I would have No one now, one would think, once I hit the water, I would have immediately let go, but I didn't. I hung on for dear life as that boulder carried me down into the darkness, life preserver and all. I have since learned that hanging on comes in many forms. Hanging on to a difficult conversation, hanging on to our children as they come of age, hanging on to someone who died, hanging on to a lost relationship or a belief that is no longer helpful, or hanging on to hurt or a slight of some sort, just refusing to forgive. It is a common practice to hang on in a world that is constantly changing, and we hope and or pray that at times, against all odds, for consistency and strength to endure. I believe that this is one of the reasons why we chose and choose every Sunday to gather in a community such as this, week after week. We seek and in large manner provide one another with certainty in an uncertain world. And at our best times, we offer forgiveness, loving compassion, and support. Together we make meaning, and we sometimes find comfort through sharing our stories. We make history and engage in community ritual. Each one of us is a unique individual, and yet we work, struggle, and strive to be one. One community that endeavors to love our neighbor and embody the golden rule, to treat others as we wish to be treated. This is not an easy practice, but sages throughout history have and continue to try to teach and inspire us. Being present to and with one another can challenge us to our very core. It pushes us to step outside ourselves, to let go of self in order to embrace something larger and all-encompassing. Removing the separation between us, enabling us to become a we the people, we who affirm and promote, we Unitarian Universalists have been there throughout history, expanding who we might be, including the we, the people. We have been and still are the voice of reason and acceptance in the public square, and we bring this practice home, offering hospitality and comfort in communities across this country and the world. Our communities have been ones of tolerance and inquiry, always questioning and willing to step and live on what I like to think of as the compassionate edge. Our foremothers and fathers were there as slaves became free, as women gained the right to vote, and in continuing struggle for civil rights. We stand witness for racial justice, for immigration rights, reproductive rights, marriage equality, gender equality. We stand for what is right, and we gather against injustice over and over again. We have traveled to Louisiana, to Haiti, to Mississippi, New Jersey, Florida, New York, and Puerto Rico, and Florida again. We travel all over the world, really ready to aid in disaster relief. We Unitarian Universalists have hung on when others have let go. As times change and society becomes more consumeristic and less introspective, we face a decision. Do we hang on to our ideals, or do we let go, give up, and acquiesce? My friends, if ever there was a time to hang on and work together, harder than we have ever done before, for positive change, this is clearly the time. There are times to hang on, and there are times to let go. The poet Mary Oliver captured in a couple of her lines this ebb and flow. She instructs, "You must be able to do three things in this life: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your life depends on it, and when the time comes to let it go, let it go." To let it go is truly a formational lesson, as is to have both the hope and faith to hang on when that is what is needed. Each day we make decisions about what is right and the best thing to do. Living this life authentically, genuinely, can give one pause. What to do? Hang on? Let go? Life is filled with such moments of introspection that can test us to our very core. I think of the many times as a child that I was transfixed as I watched my father cast the line from his fishing pole into the water and reel it back in. How that simple act of casting and reflection has such deeper meaning for me now, to throw something out into the world with expectation, with hope, looking for, waiting to catch hold of and reel in something compelling that exists outside of ourselves. This is a measure of uncertainty in all. The intention may be clear, but the outcome is not. I'm sure that we have all had to learn to let go and hang on in many different ways throughout our lives. It is the hardest thing to know when or how or what to hang on to or let go of and have confidence in these decisions. I consider these moments a crossroads, some which can literally paralyze one with fear of change. Choosing to move forward is the nature of a formative lesson. You're stuck. You feel stuck. You're afraid to move, and yet you have to move forward. Crossroad is where one may pause, take stock, and then decide to move forward in a direction, any direction, one step at a time. For me, this lesson became real and part of who I was when I was just 4 and had fallen inadvertently into the cold, dark water of the St. Lawrence River. It truly was a wake-up call of sorts, not just because it was cold. I remember the thoughts and feelings that I had in those minutes after casting that stone and myself off the dock. I was not afraid at all, not even a little. I was interested. I was interested in everything that was happening around me, which I now find kind of amazing. As I hit the water, I instinctively held my breath, which was a good thing. I also held on to that heavy rock. Now that might have been considered a bad thing, as its weight pulled me down into the coldness, the darkness. I remember looking up to the surface that seemed so far above me. I saw the light. I saw the ripples spreading out. And in that moment, I realized somewhere deep within me that I had to let go. And so I did. I let go of that ginormous rock that I worked so hard for, and my life preserver popped me to the surface in an instant. As I broke through and gasped for air, my father literally reached out and plucked me out of the water by the back of my life preserver. I sputtered, I shook from the cold, he held me tight in his arms, even though I was sopping wet. And I still remember my first words, "Daddy, it's dark down there." There is a wisdom to be found in the dark and difficult places. There is compassion in being plucked out of them by someone who cares. There is vulnerability to be explored in telling our stories, dripping wet, gasping for air, and being held in love as we do. My dearest friends, this is our calling as Unitarian Universalists, to let go of the fear. Dare to jump into the deep end, be open to the lessons that we find along the way, hold on to one another in compassion, to listen and to share and to welcome the stranger wholeheartedly into our beloved community. Let us take a few moments in silent meditation. For this we pray, may it be so. Blessed be. Amen.